had the health department come up and.
Can we just sit here?
That's true, but we're not voting at this point.
No, we're not voting.
Can we just get information?
Yeah, but you know I buy.
Oh, well, I'll just bite you back.
That's quite all right. Here, you want me to move that?
No, we're good.
Because you were sitting there.
I'll step it behind.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's put the presentation still on.
Okay, so what we're really here for is just kind of information, because you're gonna be, well, it's not kind of, it is information. You will be getting paperwork as far as through Julia for actually transferring money. But I always know how you guys are when you get it in a meeting, because you're like, what is this and why are they doing it and all that kind of thing. So I wanted to explain prior. So the health department actually put out advertisements, put out some feelers, because they came to you earlier in the year and asked you for finances to help with the bridge of me being hired and being trained. And then we needed an intern person that would be coming on to learn the septic and the environmental food side. And then we needed to hire a specialist to help us out because we were low on staff. Well, the specialist nor the assistant wanted to work for the amount of money that we offered. And we only ended up with one person that applied. So reevaluating at the last board meeting, the board voted on a new job description, which is going to be an assistant environmental health specialist. And so I have sent this job description to HR and Teresa, and they're going to rebuild it for us in your format that you have, as far as codings and all those sort of things. Then we have, they want to do it two different ways. The board decided that we would bring them in as a nine. That way that they would, because they won't have all their certifications to be able to do what they need to do. And then once that they are trained and have those certifications, they would go to a 10. So that's the way it would be written in your salary ordinance. It is what's written in the job description. So we will no longer need the $60,000 for attrition funds. We will no longer need attrition funds for Judy to assist me. And we are not going to have the intern position. We're just going to put all of that into this position. We can finish it by the end of this year with our HFI money. So what we're going to do is some of our professional funds that we've had set back for some trainings and things like that, we're not going to use them. We're going to move that money into an actual 124 line so it can be used for payroll. And so we're looking right around at $9,500 that would pay for them to the end of the year on a pay grade 9, take care of their benefits and their taxes. So you're going to get a request for us to be able to do this. And so before it actually came to you written up in a meeting, we wanted to sit down and talk with you and see if you had any questions.
So you're covered for the rest of the year?
Yes. Because right now, we have one that is out. I can't discuss it. And we have people who are becoming to retirement age pretty soon.
So how's 2025 budget look in respect to all this?
Okay, 2025, we're going to be moving things around and take...
change your budget here?
Yes, and I'm going to have to have you change that budget. So I talked to Michelle Matern from IDOH, which is Indiana Department of Health. And she says that we can go in and change 1160 and move the money around. But as everyone knows, it's very intricate because only 60% of that money that we draw, not only, but 60% of that money has to go to health. And this position is going to be in the environmental side. So only 40% of that. So we're going to have to jog it around. Michelle's going to come down and help us figure out exactly what can go and where can it go so we have the right amount of ratio to match that grant. And then it'll be resubmitted to you. And this is all going to be done before you guys have your final vote in and before you do the salary ordinance. No, not yet. I know, what I ended up doing yesterday was, once I had gotten the okay from the state to go on ahead and do it out of 1160, because that's what we decided to do in the meeting from the board, what I gave everyone the 1160 budget and said, okay, if there's anything in here that you can do without, or if it's a fluff, it's got to go. Because we have to come up with, I figured 52,000. And the reasoning it's that much more is because I also did taxes, did benefits, accounted for everything. So that person will, all their funds and expenses will come out of the 1160 and not out of the 1159.
So you think you may be a delta of 52,000?
Yes.
Increase?
Yeah. So the actual fund will not increase. That some of the change, some of the lines will either disappear or reduce in amounts.
So your overall budget will increase?
No, nope. The budget will stay as it is.
So as we plan today, there's no additions coming from our health department?
No, actually, I called Julia yesterday because I went over with, so Park, and I'm sure you all know this, but it's new to my knowledge that I share. I did not realize that once we do the budget with all of you, that we also do the budget with the state of Indiana. So they overlook everything, and then they have to accept that. And so anytime we make changes or go to start moving lines around, not only do we have to have okay from council, we also have to have okay from the state of Indiana. So Michelle and I sat down yesterday and went over Michelle Matern, which she's going to come and meet with you guys and introduce herself. She's our rep that takes care of this region. So we ended up finding some things on 1160, that, because 1160 was budgeted for 405, and we are only getting 30, actually, I think it's like 333,000 or something like that. And so we had to make some changes in some lines and get rid of some things that should have been in there. So and Julia and I spoke on the phone, and Julia said for me to just come to her. So when you get your final budget, 1159 and 1160 will be reduced. Greg and I went over the numbers yesterday, so Greg has the numbers. So that's where we are budget-wise, okay?
Good.
And that's where we are position-wise.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
So you're going to hold the budget. You're just shifting some things
around. Just shifting some things around. And we're not increasing it, and actually it's going to be decreasing a while because there's like $45,000 in there for a nurse, and there's another $72,000 in there for a nurse, so that's not what it is that was sent to the state. So I'm just going to fix those things.
Excellent. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah. All right. I'll let you know.
Yeah, you. That's good.
All right.
Next is the veterans, Andy.
Thank you. All
we really have time for today, for the most part, you can sit at the table here where they were probably be more comfortable. Basically, what we need today is how it's going to change or affect our budget, so let's keep it to that for the most part.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good day in Brown County.
Andy Alexander, and your name again is?
Dave Pate. Dave Pate's the president of the Brown County Veterans Coalition and the Brown County Honor Guard, and I've asked him to come with me today representing the 1,820 veterans in this county that he oversees and supports in the Veterans Law. He's also going to provide supporting comments to what I'm going to share with him. One, I've given you our strategic plan and my past briefing to you. This is all the accomplishments according to our plan for 2024 with the existing budget. I think that was $61,000. So it was cut by $2,000 from the previous year. So we haven't just done more with more, we've done more with less. We've met the requirements. This is a recap of that plan. And I'd like to just go over some of the neat things we've accomplished. And my bottom line today is I'm requesting that a part-time position be increased to full-time, and I'll give you my supporting arguments, and Dave will give you the support from his side of being a veteran of the county and one of our leaders.
Do you know what that delta dollars would be roughly?
I do not, but on my budget, with the form I filled out, there's a shoulder delta, and I also included it in there. I can tell you, sheriff's position is 19 hours, part-time and no benefits. I'm requesting it be full-time with benefits. And I'll show you where, how we can cover those costs through the money that's coming in through the federal government.
So would it be an increase in our budget? They would pay for it?
It would be an increase in our budget, move somewhere from.
When you say the federal government paid for it, how would that?
That's my closing, but I'm going to jump up there. I told you that we would bring in about $5 million into this county for the 759 veterans that have disability claims. That goes to all of our banks, every month tax-free. If you think of the disasters down in North Carolina and Florida and that, there's communities down there that are not even bringing in that kind of money right now for those kind of disasters. We have this money coming in to all these veterans, their survivors and dependents now. This equates to $400,000 in claims every year. 20 veterans are not working with constantly. And without someone with Sharon that has full qualifications with me, she doesn't have the last qualification. She has to be a full-time employee to get access to Patrick's claims. I'm the only one in the county that's at the federal, state, so county level to certified to do that. I'm holding up money coming into the county because I don't have enough time.
So you're saying, is this change in the $5 million coming into the county because of your actions? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying once I process these in October, November, December, we will hit our $5 million mark.
But because of your efforts, right, and that's what she would support, is if those kind of efforts.
Well, if this budget's passed for her position in 1 January, that means another $1 million next year. The two of us working back each month.
Right.
That might jump up.
You've been doing an excellent job in activating all those.
Gary, the increase would be $20,302.
Okay, you didn't know that. Okay.
And with insurance.
Was that in benefits?
That's the whole thing.
Okay. 20,000.
It would increase at 20,302. The actual amount that's requested would be $37,089.
And then someone like me, who's working full time, I put no burden on the county as a service disabled veteran of any benefits other than my leave. I have no medical premiums. I failed to get coverage on my medical costs. So that's money that's not paid out. I'm not in the wellness program.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Now, we're going to sort of jump to the questions because we're tight on time, but we have no questions. You've done an excellent job, and I appreciate that. Great. I hear, like I say, people coming from other counties to come to your services. So, and you're saying that those deactivation of those claims is bringing income through our banks, which is basically feeding our economy and things of that nature, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you'll continue on that. Does anybody have any questions or?
Yeah, just a couple clarifying, just real quick. I'm showing that we had an adopted budget for 2024 in your department, 71,707 is what we had for 2024, and then you submitted a Form 1 with a budget for this year of 96,173.
Yes.
And then Greg, my understanding is you submitted all the Form 1s back in late August or September, the gateway is what you did for the budget, correct?
Actually, Jackie put him in when Julie was gone. And Julie
so I'm assuming what you've already submitted is the ones from all the departments as they were submitted to the auditor's office July 1, correct?
Pardon?
I put them in.
Okay. So what did you submit? The Form 1s that were submitted?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we've already submitted 96,173.81 for the Veterans Office. It's a very Form 1. Form 1, you know, I'm showing your administrative assistant at 37,107 is full-time, correct?
That's what you're requesting.
Okay, that's all I want, that's all I have.
That's great.
That was what was published, that doesn't mean that's what's adopted.
That's all I have.
I do have a comment on that. His assistant is in an FSLA thing where she does work over the hours, and it compounds his problem because she's earning all of this time away from work because she's doing more at work. So it's just, it's compounding the problem.
So what should we do?
Make her full-time, be done.
So question.
She's just building.
Because I'm dealing with this in other counties, actually heard from the veteran person yesterday in Chubut County. And I think they're going to go from part-time to full-time. On your listing here, you said you had 1,800 active people. Here you said you have 759. My assumption and what I heard in other counties is the difference between those two are people that you're not serving right now. Now you may be able to incrementally increase your 759, but there's also certain people of the 1,800 that just want to be left alone.
That's correct.
And so incrementally, if you're serving 759 now, or if you have 759, what do you believe you can ratchet that up to with this additional help?
As of yesterday, I've been in this position 1 year. And we've increased it by 114. Just
people.
With my support of a part-time. So I figure I could do that up to about 100.
So bring in 150 more or take the 114 to 150?
Take the 114 to 150.
Okay. And therefore, the difference between the 759, does the 759 include that 114?
Yes, it does. Okay. And then we're at 645.
Okay. So you've got plenty of people you can try and approach, and then it's a matter of getting the word out. And like I said, there are some that just say, we don't want to be touched.
You're absolutely
don't bother us. Okay. That's what I'm hearing across the state.
Yes.
So I'm as a veteran, I'm part of that 1,800,
yeah.
But I don't need any services. I mean, you know, I've already got VA. I don't want to take anything away from anybody who really does need it. You know, I'm not a disabled vet. I mean, there really no. Ron and I worked on some things when he was here, and there was really nothing that I would qualify for. So I'm part of the 1,800.
Okay. We've lost 5 veterans this week.
Wow.
Now, when their spouses come in, they're going to claim headstones, burial rebates, honor guard, maybe. We'll work with the funeral homes. Every veteran in the total 1,800 will eventually come to us from cradle to grave. One of the things we do, and I feel bad about, is leaving veterans behind who are following their own claims that don't ask. They suffer from survivor syndrome. Okay.
Yeah.
But eventually, we handle almost every. Right now, I have 27 veterans sitting in our health and living center that I meet with. 80% of them aren't even from our county. They're here because we have federal vouchers to house them. And they take them in over here. But I have to watch them all the way through hospice. I've done home visits to my last 6 over the last 3 months. Dave's been with me, and I've lost them. That's cradle to grave. So even though they don't put a claim in 60 years ago, because those are a lot of even more veterans, they do with the WISE for DIC, dependent indemnity compensation, burial coverage, working with the funeral homes, and all the way down to doing their displays for their spouse for that closure. That goes on for our office, me especially, for the sacred trust, up to 6 months per family. But really, when you look at 1,820 veterans residing in the county, according to the census, if all of them are married and all of them have one dependent, we're dealing with over 5,000 people out of 15,000 in the county. That's almost a third of the population coming through an office with 1.5 people.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it.
Yeah. I appreciate you doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys do a great job. It's all
well, I can't do it without the president of the coalition. That's why I brought him today.
I appreciate you. You're no stimulus to get people around and get the action done.
Yeah.
So great. Question for you. Are there Do you know of any, I mean, veterans are, you know, former federal employees, basically. Are there federal grants available, federal money that we could tap into?
I've not heard one position like his where they've been able to do that. And I literally have three or four counties that are doing the exact same thing. There, matter of fact, I almost was like, did you guys have a county or a statewide meeting and say our push is to go to full time? Not that that would be bad, but it seemed like each one of your positions are trying to do that. And maybe it's because of the need.
I think we may be influenced in that from Brown County because we're the only one on 92 that has a strategic plan. Okay. And when I went to Vive recently to meet the 17 in my territory under Ron Higgins, who's our senior person, they all want to look at our plan.
See, I thought Hancock had one.
To make those arguments.
Okay. So the answer is no.
Whitney, have you ever heard anything about that?
No.
Okay.
I apologize for coming in late. Didn't we have two people before moving on at some point? Or
I worked for him part time as an assistant.
Has it always been one and a half, or has it been two at some point? Or?
It started out with Harry Bond, volunteer at half time. Then it built to a full time position, and then a half time administrative assistant, 1.5.
Okay, so it's always been at that level. Okay.
Right. But we've never had this level of activity at your dinner.
Right. Biggest impact, if you ever visit with me, is 11 metal file cabinets in my office that date records back to 1836. We're down to 2 metal file cabinets. Everything we do now is in the cloud or virtual. The things that Dave used to do and Perletta and that whole history of administrative assistants doesn't exist. It's like when they brought in word processing and did away with everyone's secretaries. I don't need an administrative assistant. I need an assistant veteran service officer that meets the 19 federal and state certification requirements. And Sharon, for 2 years' experience, has met all of them. She's equal to me except the final one, the package of claim of a 40-hour job. That's a federal requirement.
And the reason that we're able to do so much is because we have increased, you know, when Ron was here, we increased, you know, pretty much half time at a time as we could for him. And as, I mean, he busted his butt a lot. I mean,
that's
doing amazing things,
multiple things
with what we had available, and as we've given them more resources, more hours to be, or more work hours to be able to do stuff, we've been able to do more. I'm confident that we're, you know, another half time worth of they're going to be able to get that much more.
I agree, and that's my proposal.
Mm-hmm. We'll see that. Okay, that's pretty much what we need, and we have no questions about the work you're putting into it, so we just have to work massage it into our budget and our concern. So I appreciate what you guys brought to the table. Thanks.
I'm also one of your veterans that doesn't require any assistance.
I know, and I, in fact, I'm going to be looking up your records today to find out what I can do for you.
We love those pennies from heaven, as Greg likes to call them.
Absolutely.
Well, and I don't doubt his economic impact there.
Yeah.
Because, and incrementally, it does mean, I've seen these same numbers or higher numbers in other, you know, where they're double.
Now, I have looked at grants to supplement salary and fringe, and the two that I hold are in the reverting fund approved by the county. But when I went and did a spending plan to the Brown County Community Foundation, specifically to the Fabulous 50, they approved everything in the spending plan. Remember I went after 1 hour, bring her up to 20? They approved everything except salary and grants. They will not allow their grant money out of the foundation to be spent for salary and grants. So that kind of undermined my effort there, so that I'm back here.
Well, we appreciate that.
All right.
We will see what we can do.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, staff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to come back with a new number. That's one thing I wanted to ask the council. Are you wanting an annual review, like in December?
Yes.
Annual report.
We may move that to quarterly, so get ready for that.
Yeah, I think you'll, it's really good news.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you should, saw some here, but.
You should be correct. And being praise for what you guys are doing. It's a good job.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Ross?
This is how you guys do?
This is Ross Benson from the IDC. Didn't wait till any recorders did they go?
Harvey? Where you guys are, some maps, and I may have some extra copies here. The RDC has been meeting and talking about, RDC business. There's a little presentation here I've also put together with you guys, which talks about what that is. But basically, RDC gets involved with infrastructure in areas where, without RDC involvement, activity may not occur. We've had an RDC in Brown County for about 10 years. So far, there's been one economic development area created up in Helmsburg. We are looking at, all areas of the county for future work, but we see a couple of areas that are jumping out kind of quickly at us, which is the Bean Blossom area, because we are seeing the potential of the sewer coming in there, which is going to expand opportunities up and down 135 and then across Route 45 up in Jackson Township. And then, we would look at the possibility of expanding the existing economic development area in Jackson Township. And then we're looking at the possibility of creating a new economic development area down on the south side of Nashville. If you take this map and open it up this way, you'll see Nashville here. So we've got the Opry area down here and coming up on the west side of the town. So what we intend to do is get out and create mailing lists, create stakeholder lists, and draw in the local people to talk about these areas, develop plans for an economic development area, and then start to share this information also with the APC. We're looking to create a new comprehensive plan. And they've asked the RDC to participate and join them in providing information that we can from our work to assist, their overall comprehensive plan. And then there's a little talk in here about TIF funding. We have no application for TIF funding in front of us at this time. But one of the things and one of the concepts that I've been kind of asking around the state for is the idea of basically revenue retention. So rather than create a debt obligation and then create TIF to pay that debt obligation, rather, because my idea is, okay, we know areas that investment is likely to come into, and if we can TIF smaller zones within larger economic development areas, for example, Jackson Township, you TIF, Helmsburg or Bean Blossom, then any revenues that came in from that TIF, and you guys understand the TIF concept with this little chart here, over a period of time, we come into the RDC and allow the RDC to spend that money back in the area of which it came. Because the RDC would be required to reinvest all that money back in the area of which the AB was generated.
The broader factor.
Yeah,
broader area, not necessarily the specific site, but the area that surrounds it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So you look at these maps, and these are just starters. They're to create the conversation, to get the ball rolling. Not obviously, yes. Not all of these areas would be TIFed, and the TIF activity, if it happens, again, this has to come out of the conversations, out of the process. But just a heads up to you guys, because it affects money that's coming out of the general fund. If that kind of allocation process were to proceed, want to make sure you guys are all on board with that idea.
Ross, on that form, Greg, I know you know this, I'll come back to your hand. In a minute and a half, can you tell the council how, if one of these properties is TIF, it will land on our desks for approval, votes, consideration, like what, down the road, what is the council going to be asked to do if something happens in a TIF?
Well, during the process of creation of a allocation, and keep in mind, Ross talked about the economic development area, it's the broader sense. The TIF allocation area is where you're going to collect the money from. So during that process of implementation or approval, we got to go to almost everybody. You got to go to the commissioner, planning department, council, yada, yada, yada. Okay, everybody's got approved. So that's where it will come back, and it starts at the RDC, and then it goes through all those different approvals.
So then the TIF would come back before the council, or is that a commissioner ultimate decision? I'm trying to remember, I don't.
It may be a commissioner ultimate decision.
I believe, yes. It may not come back. This may be our last touch on it.
Well, you're not approving anything today.
Right.
I still would approve.
So what we're looking for here is guidance.
Yeah.
As I say, RDC was created 10 years ago. We're trying and talking to find original documentation. Why did Brown County feel like it was appropriate to start an RDC? But obviously the commissioners and the council got together and they did it. So when we started this year, we had no handover documentation of what, like, last year's RDC was working on. So I just started digging and digging into RDC statutes in the state of Indiana and what do they call for. And, you know, the first page of this handout I gave you, put in here, calls out the duties of the commission. You know, investigate areas of blight, areas that could use this type of infrastructure support, areas where it might not or would not happen but for the involvement of the RDC. You know, so these are the kind of hurdles we jump over. Long story short.
How much do you want?
Yeah, somewhere between, you know, I'm thinking loose numbers between 30 and 50 on a budget year, 1,000, just to handle legal and any other professional consulting we need. You know, ever since I came into this position, people have been telling us that this money in the sock factory got count and all that. But that's I think, very controversial. That's something that between you guys and the commission have to square away. So I'm just looking at your general budget pressure.
I wanted to bring Whitney into this for a minute, just because of our LMI, we don't qualify for some grants countywide. Is that correct?
Correct.
We have a poor low to medium income ratio, so we may have to go regional. And there's how do we activate something to get a regional grant back down?
So I'm not really sure that you need to do anything regionally.
Okay. How would we activate something?
So, to be qualified for Ochre construction funding, you have to have an area that is over 51% low to moderate income.
Area?
Yes.
What does an area look like?
That's
right.
Right. So here's the HUD mapping tool. You see Brown County here. Some of these sections, there's about 15 census block groups in the county, and each one of those has different LMI percentages. So there are some census blocks, which I believe are in the Helmsburg area, that are over 51%. So if we create almost like a sub-area within the county to say that if we put in new sewer lines, new water lines, that help already existing residents who are low to moderate income, then that's an application that is eligible and feasible. So basically we need to carve out a section of the county that includes these unincorporated parts of the county and prove that they are low to moderate income, because that is a national objective of the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So what I have been proposing, or what I have put together, is a letter of justification that we can submit to the Office of Community and Rural Affairs to conduct an income survey of the Helmsburg Bean Blossom region, prove that it's above 51%, because the data they use is from 2016 to 2020. That's not my choice, that's their choice. So that's pre-COVID. We also have, you know, we just have to explain why the data is not necessarily inaccurate, but it doesn't put the whole story, or tell the whole story. So that's what I'm proposing that Brown County does. To do an income survey, once you get approval from the state, then the clock starts ticking and you have 90 days to complete that survey. We'll need to have a certain number of responses. All kinds of things like that. So it's just a kind of a paperwork process that I'm trying to work with Teresa and the auditor's office on, and hopefully make Brown County eligible. Yeah, absolutely.
So it doesn't have to align with the specific census block or tract. It could be a custom area, like whatever, you know, we come up with here.
Absolutely. Okay. You can do a custom service area. My only concern with doing that is making sure that there are enough beneficiaries, because you don't want to, they don't want to fund a $600,000 sewer project if it's helping like 1,000 people.
What's a good floor for a...
The cost to benefit ratio should be $5,000.
Per individual?
Yeah. So that's something that we'll need to think about when we're carving out those sections. But my interest, or what I found from the census block and the margin of errors and the low moderate income, is that the northwest corner of Brown County has some, I think, very good potential for...
And Whitney, that's per individual, not per home, or per location.
That's a good question, because we're talking about households and families.
Exactly.
And, yeah, so we need
exactly.
To
get, so you got to be kind
of the process. Yeah.
Maybe household. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if these things run kind of side by side. You know what Whitney's discussing, because what we're talking about is just declaring, you know, an economic development area. Which is just consulting, legal, stuff like that. But I think that could work hand in hand with what you're describing, particularly because when you now you're mapping an area and you're, and this is where, you know, the RDC needs input from the, you know, the council and the commissioners. You know, is this map, when you look at this map, do you think this is adequate? You know, for Jackson Township.
Well,
for example?
One thing that strikes me here is there's no knob on.
Yeah, well, that's, I know, but we can't, like, just tiff the, or
you're right,
do
but,
the entire county.
I mean, we do go, like, way out in hinterlands here, around Tilt's properties, mm-hmm. which the landowner really is insignificant to me. But I look at Nawbone and think of the apartments out there, the interest in development and the suitability for it, and wonder if that should be considered as well. Mm-hmm. They also have some sewer needs there, apparently, and so... That just one feedback for you on that.
Yeah, that's good feedback.
Yeah.
So they do fall hand in hand. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, but they could be complementing.
They absolutely
tracks.
Can.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, if we, or you know, if the county said, "Hey, let's do an income survey for maybe a little bit, maybe a broader area than either one of these," and then we go to Okra and say, "We want a grant to do a." Economic development, you know, I don't know if it would, I don't know if they would give us money instead of us giving you money, right. If the state would give you money after an income survey to do a planning grant for this purpose.
And you said the income would be $17 to $22 a head?
Yeah.
So, you know what we need for a statistical base?
So, two things real quick. For the Economic Development Authority, I agree, those are two separate things. The Okra grants are resident-focused only. The minute I start talking about economics, businesses, jobs, things like that, they kind of close, you know, they stop listening. So whatever I do with OCR has to help residents specifically.
Yep.
I can use TIF dollars as part of local match for, I've had RDCs through their four buckets of spending, quality of life. I've had that before as a resolution, and that works as local matching funds. And then to the income survey, the problem with this is that it will cost some money. We don't do those in-house with ARA. We work with a contractor who charges about $20, $25 per person. I put together a similar request for a community that had the same size of the population of Brown County. This community had about 18,000 utility users. Brown County's at 15. We had to contact 606 households at $20 a person. That's about $12,000. But I will say that if you do spend that money on the income survey, it can count towards your local match later. So it's not like you're putting in extra money and then back up and it looks better.
But
But Whitney, every time I hear someone go countywide, they start diluting the feasibility of it because it starts bringing in higher earners, people. And so I keep finding every time I've seen this done, which is many, many times, is we start lessening it down rather than growing it.
Absolutely. That's why I'm suggesting a carve-out.
I thought your suggestion was the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't think it would be a good idea for the entire county. No. When I look at the census tract data, there's one area where there's only 13% online, which drags down your average very much. So I would,
Whitney, what I meant was take the take the census tract and the economic development concept, not use it, obviously, because I'm used to the same thing you are. We're not about economic development. Get the hell out of here. You know, and so, but the answer is we've got to include it in that in order to get a TIF allocation area established so they can go hand in hand.
Absolutely. So I think, that would be your cash source, which is requested in the application. But, I'm totally with you.
Sorry, you said one more time that last part.
Sure. So we want to keep Whitney and Ross separate, but yet combine them in their strategic location of where we're picking. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And so the economic development area, remember, can be very, very large. It also could be a redevelopment area. And, you know, depending on how Tom Pittman or whoever would assess it. And so the answer is, before you can create a allocation area to match it up with whatever Whitney goes and gets, you got to go through that process too. So mirroring those kind of in a similar area makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right. I mean, at this point, the RDC is trying to bring attention to these areas. And we get past this one, then the next one is going to be novel, you know, or even go further up like Fruitdale or things like that. That's what I envision as an ongoing purpose of the RDC in Brown County. And then at the same time, as we're doing that work, and you know, not every task we take on is going to end up in economic development area. But it's still the process of going through that and scrutinizing these areas 1 year at a time, you know, and then feed that information to the APC, you know, so that that strategic or comprehensive plan can be more of a living document that gets updated.
That's suggested.
Yep. And so, I'll leave that with you guys.
So you two working with the APC and such would be helpful to structure this for the future. Our problem right now is generating money out of sparse budgets.
Right. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I think doing this, and then ultimately at some point, if you do decide to, if the county gets on board with a TIF zone, you know, and then come to agreement on where those funds are going to go, because they have to go back into the area, you know, the greater area, then these maps become important for all of you guys to kind of give your input on, you know, hey man, you know, go a little further east, a little further west, or whatever while you're doing this.
Now remember, Rush, you're hitting the in the area, but it still exists in the statute, in or serve. So if Whitney had something right here serving this, you know, and you had your allocation area here, if we can make a direct connect, it can be spent in that area.
Yeah, sure, I understand. So, exactly. Yeah,
you're right.
This is all, foundational stuff at this point.
Is there a difference or benefit difference between an economic development zone and a redevelopment zone, and is there a difference? Qualifications to meet for that, or they treat it the same?
Yes and yes. And that's where you consult your attorney. Most of them are economic development. Downtowns are a lot of redevelopment.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. With Helmsburg and Bean Blossom both, they're established communities.
You know, they call it
as redevelopment.
They call it an RDC. They call it a redevelopment commission. But all the statute information refers to, you know, allocation areas and economic development areas. So.
But there are redevelopment areas within, and some good education on that.
Yeah. I mean, is there a benefit to declaring something a redevelopment over economic development, or is economic development the best way to go with it?
And I believe in terms of the RDC, that would be the approach that we would, I'll speak to Tom about that, about the redevelopment versus economic. And I can report back to you guys.
But that doesn't help you at all, because they don't want to do economic. Now, redevelopment, or what about CDC? Was CDC stand for what?
Community Development Corporation?
Yeah, does that do anything?
No, not really. I mean, I apply on behalf of a political subdivision, so, having, the infrastructure of community groups and, organizations, I probably wouldn't even touch on that in the narrative. I have a character limit, so.
As far as whether they have existing CDC or something in place?
Yeah, I think that I don't see that being a requirement. And again, I'm talking about how people can't flush their toilets or something,
Ross, have you been involved with the Community Foundation locally at all much? Brown County?
A little bit, with the various.
I'm just wondering if they might be able to have Lilly grants and such that could flow into this. Sort of in between just personal and.
Susan Michaels, this is my neighbor, I could touch base with her real quick.
Because they may have more versatility with Lilly type grants and such.
Ross, the other thing, just think broadly about the redevelopment commission and your needs, and whether it's this or 10 other things. It seems to me you've got grant administrator, council's happy to lend you our financial consultant, and we've got a great attorney. We don't have an economic development expert. And correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but you're not an economic development rep expert on consulting with communities about strategically dealing this. Am I wrong on that? Or, could you lead communities through economic development projects?
We do the mathematical equations and the reports to formulate every development or a TIF area. You got to do a tax impact study and all of that, and we do those things. But do we put together an economic development project? No.
Or guide the redevelopment council through these types of discussions in an expert, way. To me, that is probably your biggest gap in resources. I mean, you've got pretty much everyone else at the table. And what I don't want, and what triggered me to think of this, is when you say, I'll call Tom Pittman and ask those questions. Well, Tom's probably four times the cost of an economic, or eight times the cost of an economic. So I don't want you to call Tom for something I can pay an eighth.
Well, he's been sending me some emails. And
no. Just be very limited.
Well, that's why I'm here. I don't want to get over my skis. Yeah. We're doing all this work. We're talking about things that ultimately, eventually, it's going to cost a little bit of money. We're not talking about huge money, but and I don't want bills from times forward to start showing up down here and saying who authorized this. So,
well, and Barnes is not an economic development expert either.
No,
so we can call them for certain questions, but they're not the ones that should be advising.
Pittman wrote kind of the handbook, the Bible that most RDCs use in the state of Indiana. So as far as legal questions in terms of the statute, I think.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with you in terms of.
Yeah. And so I guess, we talk a lot about positions and needed things to fill in the county, whether it's mental health, public safety, veterans affairs, but in most counties that are successful in what you're talking about, they have an economic development person and an entity that's professional that does this full time or consults with that, and so we don't have either of those things.
Yeah. Over on Bartholomew, we do. Over in Monroe, we have BEDC,
This company, this firm that's now contracted with the APC would kind of fit.
Was that the county plan?
Yeah, for the county plan?
They could, but I don't know.
You know who that is? Bart. The county plan?
I think it's Veritas.
Veritas on some development.
Oh, it'd be Veritas.
Yeah, they do plan and
stuff. So you go to Bartholomew, talk to the BDC people, say, tell them what you're going to do and want to hear, but you need information.
Right.
Talk to Bartholomew, because we're their RDC representative, and I can't think of his name, but he's there.
Jason Hester.
And he's awesome. And his second person.
We'll speak in here and see where we end up.
Okay. And then, again, we're looking for direction, feedback from the council. You mean, you guys appoint?
We got a lot of direction and feedback, just no money to support.
Yeah, so the direction is ask for money from the foundation, consider an economic development consultant request of the county, consider Gnawbone in your mapping.
Yep.
And what else? Those three things come to mind.
Can I have the legal.
Charge with the. Yeah, custom service, that would kind of get us moving, you know.
Well, I will say that according to the 2024 calendar, and I expect it to stay the same in 2025, the first construction round is at the end of March. That's when proposals open. It's a two-step process. We'll put together a proposal, then we'll get feedback and submit a full application. Knowing that we have 90 days to complete an income survey, I'd like to get a request in for an income survey within the next month. Mm-hmm. Again, I'll have to talk to our vendor and see, get kind of a, put together a cost for you all so that you know, the council could enter into a contract with us or debt firm directly. But, you know, it also, too, a lot of homeowners are going to be gone this time of year. So whether we want that or we don't want that, I just want to make sure we get our number of responses as we need them. So
you got 600 countywide out of 15,000, so wouldn't it be less for a region?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the ratio of matching funds necessary for the Bulldog grant?
For wastewater, drinking water, and then stormwater improvement program, those are two separate programs. It's a 20% match. The max amount of award is about 600,000, depending on how much you charge users. Could be more or less, but they want to make sure that you've considered every financial, three different financial alternatives to this. This is sort of your last resort. Again, helping already existing low to moderate income residents that can't do anything with new residents. So.
Okay. All right, appreciate you two coming.
All right.
We got a quick update on the Gnawbone issue.
Sure. Is it over here too?
Yeah, I'm here, except I'm changing chairs. This one's so much more comfortable. That's why I'm changing you.
I'm really putting you in the back slot.
Yeah. Kevin, I really want you to be comfortable.
That's not right.
It's afraid to fall asleep. So, what's up with Gnawbone?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ross.
Thanks.
No problem.
Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
First of all, this was
awesome. If you do this right, Whitney, you'll be able to live here.
I keep hearing people keep offering, you know, rentals to me.
First off, thanks for throwing me in here. I got a message. I've been getting messages from Daypass. They've got a failed Plant 1. I told this to the commissioners a couple weeks ago. He sent me a message yesterday morning. I got a call with him. Their emergency, like I need it now money, is twice what they have in their checking account. They need 125 minimum.
125,000?
Yes.
What are you talking about? Gnawbone?
I'm talking about Gnawbone. I'm not here requesting.
No, I just want to be clear on who you're talking about.
I was wanting to. They've asked me if I could make this, fill the commissioners in yesterday. We all know what happened yesterday. We ran out of time, so I thought, okay, I'm going to stick my nose in here and bring you guys up to speed. They've got two package plants out there, just like the package plant in Helmsburg. It's been there 24 years. It's rusted out. A couple weeks ago, pipes literally fell out of fittings and such. They just rusted apart. The first third of Plant 1, these plants were covered with grating so service people could walk over them. The metal grating, 6-inch appliance, you can pick it up and twist it.
So you're talking about out in that field, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're talking about out in the field. Yeah, on the south side of the creek.
There's two plants there?
Yes.
And the steel tanks like Alberta?
Yes, they're the roll off the truck. They're, that's why we call them package plants.
So It's a mess, we know that basically, so what's the anticipation of cost and such like that?
Well, right now, he's talking with Jeff Farmer of Biden Fan Utilities to just basically gut the first half of Plant One, clean it out, put what they jokingly call a rhino liner spray on the inside. It's a reinforced epoxy spray on liner, sort of like shotcrete, if you don't know your concrete work. Replace the piping with stainless steel piping and get 5, 6, 8 more years out of this plant. They don't have the finances to do it. They have not been, and I say this, not throwing Dave Hess, the guy, under the bus. He's wanting to keep their prices down. He has. But they've not planned for long-term maintenance and repairs. They don't have a reserve, and it's caught up with them. So he's panicking. I have, sorry, if I'm listening to this stuff just a minute ago, deja vu, I've already been doing what you're just describing, you know, a year and a half ago out there. So, like, yeah, I already said this. the plan right now is to find them probably at least $80,000 to $90,000, so you don't bankrupt them. So they, I think they've got.
Wouldn't need for that.
No.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, we're already past that. I've got calls in to SRF and IDEM to see if they have, they supposedly have emergency little person in the back. You just have to know who to ask and how to ask. I have no idea what ramifications that would do to the county budget, but the comments from Dave are rather concerning that he is, I can't do it, I'm going to give the keys back to the county. Like, I got to have some help. So he's calling me, saying, can you help me, help me, help me. I've got a contact with the National Rural Water Association. They have a $200,000 emergency loan program that you can apply for. They can get money, like, in 5 days. But that's going to push their rates up to the add another $23 a month to people's rates. But that takes, that puts them in a box.
Let's do
financially.
Let's do this.
So it's a heads up.
Just a little time.
Yeah.
We've got a general obligation bond that we'll pass and we'll prove and we'll take receipt of those capital sometime the first of the year, correct?
Correct.
If it's been approved.
Well, we'll get it approved. We're obviously going to approve it. Okay. I don't know why we would do that and not approve it. So we take collect that revenue first time, first part of the year, first of the year. This issue with regards to NIVO, I hear you. So we got tank issues, but then if I think back 6, 8 months
ago, there's lots of other issues.
There are electric pumps that pump the effluent to the tanks, right? Have we addressed those issues with these pumps?
No, not at all.
And if you're going to, if we're going to, a 1 is not important, not urgent, and 10 is we're in trouble, and we're going to hit the wall, and IDEM, I'm assuming it would be IDEM that would come in and shut that thing down. How close are we to shutting that down, and how many households does this that plant service?
I think they've got 94 customers.
Okay, so we would end up with 94 customers with no place to water treatment, which means those homes are inhabitable.
And businesses.
Okay, so to me,
which includes the apartment,
this sounds like, we got to find the money, and we need to deal with it, and we need to deal with it head on.
Yeah,
is what it sounds to me.
How long would a rate increase take?
Well, I was at their meeting 3 weeks ago, and Donalise, is a board member, and their accountant Beth Stover, who's also the accountant of the Helmsburg Sewer District, there, and Dave. And we're going through these options with them. So I've already looked into the census blocks.
both census blocks that cover the Melbourne area are already in, at meet the low to moderate income criteria. They're State Route 45, or State Route 46 is the divider line between the two. So one's in, one's really good, the one on the north side, because that goes in the Hamlin district, that's skewed a little bit. But if we cut it down to the district, we can meet that low to moderate income, no problem. The problem is timing. The problem is going through all these
city council meeting.
Hey, what's this Blake on a B there? Everybody else?
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. You saw that saying.
We're trying to finish up the conversation.
So anyway, long story, I'll compress this down to what Dave has asked me to do, is to come here and let you guys know that he is desperate for help and where he can find it. We're looking at SRF again, state revolving loan, IDEM for, you know, emergency operations, because IDEM won't let that thing fail and raw sewage.
Dave needs what, a couple hundred grand?
At least.
To just go in and take care of the tank issue?
I've put in, back in May, I filed a grant request with the Ready 2.0 folks for $1.2 million for them. Mm-hmm. That included switching that tank out, putting a digester in.
In the near term, how close are we to that plant becoming the point to where it's no longer going to be able to have the capacity?
If we get a heavy rain, yeah, you will fail.
Is that right?
Which means overflows into the creek?
Yes.
Is that when IDEM steps in then?
Somebody will.
What has to happen in order for IDEM to come in and say, we're done, we're going to shut down? Has that ever happened to the best of your knowledge?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah. IDEM's already came down there and looked at it.
And they, so they're aware of it.
So what's going on right now, their capacity, their flows go up and down.
Right.
Okay.
Right
now, plant one is, flows to plant one is shut off. The flow right now is such that plant two can process. Okay.
But it's at capacity.
It's probably at 110%.
Oh, wow.
You know.
Right.
Scotty, give me work nine. Yeah, right. Okay.
Is it failing too?
It will. It needs repairs.
Okay.
It's 9 years younger than the first plant, but it's experiencing the same rusting out issues. I mean, they're same material, same design. They're mirror images of each other.
It's deferred.
It's deferred. A lot of it's deferred maintenance, and also the practical life of these packaged plants. So,
Craig, real quick. Let's say they do a rate increase. Can they loan against that future income?
What are the rates, current rates? Right now it's $60, and that's the other problem is...
The answer is yes. Okay.
If they do a rate, if they were to go to Oak Ridge, if they were to go to SRF, they will not get a grant. Because the state median rate is $84, $85. So that's the cutoff. If you... Helmsburg is at 94, so they qualify for a grant because they're too expensive. Okay, so the only thing they can do
because they only have a maintenance level on top of it.
Thank you.
Okay.
So they can get a low interest or zero interest loan to go up to $85. Then, if they show the need for growth for future repairs that cost above $85, then they can get a grant to keep their monthly rate at the $85 level. Okay? So,
We don't have enough time right now.
No, we don't have enough time to do all this.
It's all great, but that's kind of down the road.
Yes, that is down the road.
Right,
again.
Right.
Like I said, I'm not here I don't know what I'm asking for other than...
Well, my takeaway is...
You guys aware that there's a serious problem out there, and if Dave...
And what has the commissioners done with regards to this issue, Mr. Commissioner?
I've been out there personally, looked at it. I don't know what else. I mean, what are you talking about, funding?
Well, I'm talking about trying to get the situation that they're currently in resolved.
Well, it's not a commissioner's problem.
I mean, I went out there. I mean, I can only do so much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, I will say this, and again, not to throw Dave under the bus.
again, we're pointing out.
Is this Dave Heska? I've heard that name before. I'm familiar with the name. I don't know that I've ever met the individual. Is he the individual that's been basically taking on the responsibility of that plant?
Yes.
For years?
Yes.
And he had some health issues?
Yes.
And this guy has gone above and beyond for years and years and years.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I know who he is. Okay. I don't know him, but I know who he is.
I know that two years ago, I went out there with Dave and Jerry. And at that time, the county still had some ARPA money.
Right.
And Jerry said, put a plan together, come in and ask, and we can get you some ARPA money.
And do they have a full board?
They got three members, Donald Luce, Dave Hess, and the guy that's got the wedding barn out there on Mount Liberty Road.
So they do have a three-member board, and it is staffed.
Yeah.
Okay. But not regional, sir, right?
It is a fully
Well, when I say staff, meaning they have three board members. They don't have any seats there, I'll imagine. Right. Okay. So Madonna Lutz is on the board.
Yes. I didn't know She's that. The secretary. Dave's the president. And the guy, he's retired from Duke.
Okay. All right.
And he is helping Dave. I mean, they are a working board. They do their own maintenance.
Yeah. And you've been actively involved with it for quite some time.
I've got sucked into it, yeah.
All right.
Sucked into it more than
fun. Thank you.
Their entire system is a vacuum system, right?
They've installed a couple grinders because they really don't want to put more vacuums on because of the issues that they have with them.
Are they looking at changing that out completely to a force pressure?
We have system? Part of the Ready grant was to do an engineering study to look at alternatives, what it would take to repair, bring them up. They recommend those things to be inspected and serviced every 5 years. I know I'm over time. Those are for the terrain and the water table out there, a vacuum system. If you get a crack, you're sucking groundwater in.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, all of the stuff you saw during this summer, all this work you saw this summer around town here was putting slip liners in our existing sewers because they're gravity and they're cracked clay tiles and so forth. So you've got just natural groundwater trying to drain into your gravity pipes. Imagine putting that in a creek bottom and having 9 psi negative pressure sucking groundwater.
All right, let's get focused. How much, it sounds like they need staff to professionally maintain the plant. That's going to require a rate increase.
They need a rate increase across the board. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing I was getting at with that. When you're talking about temporary improvements to the plant they have right now, I hear stainless, and I hear, four times the cost. For a temporary fix, it's going to be ripped out 8 years down. Can we save the money and not go with stainless? Well, it's going to be a temporary fix.
That leads me to the $1.2 million request at Ready. Is it moving forward or is it killed?
That's a whole other 50.
Do you know? Yes, sir.
Yes, I know it's still sitting there waiting.
Okay.
Ready 2.0 money is not going to be released until 65% of Ready 1.0 money is expended, and that's by region. That's why the Upland region has not kicked any 2.0 money loose.
So to your point, it's still alive. That would be a good fix.
Yes.
Your question of not just throwing Band-Aids at it.
Yes.
Expensive Band-Aids is something that's going to be replaced.
Wasted money.
But if it's going to be an expensive fix, make it a permanent fix.
Well, okay. I don't know how you're going to permanently fix a 24-year-old.
We're not going to resolve this in 10 minutes. This is too big.
Let me float an idea
because your takeaway is Dave Hess is screaming for support. Okay.
Yeah.
I will volunteer if you all want me to. If somebody else wants to do it, be my guest. But we ought to have one person on the council ought to go get with Hess, get with you, get with what's her face in the commissioner's office. And then come back to the council and put together some kind of a proposal. And because what my takeaway from this conversation, we have basically a really narrow window. God forbid we get any horrible inclement weather, okay? And we've got kind of a crisis on our hands that needs to be addressed. So we've got the crisis issue, and then we can look at proactive stuff that can be done down the road. But what you're talking about is a crisis issue.
Right.
Okay, that's a good idea. Let you have you do it.
And
if that's what you want.
I don't know if, I mean, I'd rather you spend your time on, I got a list of five crises here.
Okay, so, right.
And it's further outside of our realm. This is a
But this is an area, though, that, you know,
correct.
In the 3 years that I was on the RDC, and my involvement with the regional sewer district.
No, I get it. I get it.
Is an area that I'm...
We got other fires to put
right,
out.
Right, but this is, you got how many homes? 900 people?
Yeah.
That's a business development area, too.
Yeah.
Oh, see, 900 people. Yeah.
If you have the energy for it,
it's great.
I don't want to pull energy.
I just want to do a discovery, get a discovery written up, come back to you guys, with say, hey, here's where we are.
You got my vote.
I move we appoint Jim Kemp to pursue the Navajo immediate fix.
Second.
Okay. Congratulations, Jim.
You guys can do this. This scares me.
It does. Just keep in mind.
It sounds like you're on top of it.
Well, yeah, I understand the whole thing.
Just keep in mind that this is a completely separate
problem. All right, so Kevin, do me a favor. You've got my contact information. Will you connect with Hess tomorrow, and then let's connect on Monday? Because I want to jump on this. I don't want to jack around.
They have a board meeting Monday night at the Nalmark.
Oh, do they really?
Yes.
Okay, well,
first Monday
what
the
time?
Month. I think it's 6 o'clock.
Tell him I'll be there. Okay. So this is this following Monday?
This coming Monday,
at
yes.
That's the place that makes the tenderloins?
Yeah. All right.
Those are good. If you've done half one.
All right. Sorry, I didn't take up that much time. Thank you.
See how comfortable that seat was?
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of it quick.
I'm moving right out there.
If you tell me it's good.
The Navajo Navar tenderloins is killer.
So real quick question. And the answer is either Jim Kemp or Greg Garikos. Who brought their Rolls Royce today?
Oh, that was him.
That's the new council car.
That's the new council president car.
Hell no, did I bring that. First of all, I don't own it.
Next question issue, contract with Wagner Irwin Sheely to review revised job descriptions and salary grades. Go with them at the conference. We had a good meeting. Let's not mess it up from there.
How much?
43.
Will it do, no, is that not bad? Pay grades? It'll do the come out ones?
We're gonna do all that. Okay. Plus they're gonna give us tiers rather than slots.
Are we gonna have input in this? Or just
we're gonna have input. We'll set up a committee with the problem. And the past people said, yeah, you do this stuff, but you go to council, just don't follow it up. Yeah. So we'll set up a committee in the council on two or three people to follow and track it. They need about 6 to 9 months to get it done, so we want to have it done by our next budget session.
You send that to Greg. Sounds like you've got experience in that.
Yeah.
We want to make sure this all aligns. That Sheely contract for review. And Susan, do you need to see that or no?
She should.
She should.
I mean, I have. You have it. Okay. She already has it.
We'll double up.
We've got in our budget for this year. It'll be split off between this year and next year by the time they finish. So
I just want to make sure we don't spend $40,000 on something that comes back to us and it's like, this doesn't work for us at all.
Okay, we need to shift from slots to a tier where we have a range of
hours. Time out. All right, time out. If we're going to spend $45,000 with WIS, it's a hell of a lot easier.
Thank you.
Okay. Then we need to be actively involved, and we need to be a part of it, step by step by step by step. Because in our meeting, what they're going to do, I had two phone calls with Roy Sheely,
whatever,
okay? You take a whiteboard or a chalkboard, we're going to wipe the whole thing clean,
start over
and start from scratch, all the way through, A to Z, every department, whole nine yards. But we, as a council, if you guys aren't going to be involved and get some skin in the game, I'm not trying to be lectured, but if we're not going to be involved in the process, then let's don't blow the money.
Exactly. That's what I was just saying. Okay?
If we're going to be involved in the process, I'm all in on it. That's all I got to say about that.
So we either vote on that today or wait till the...
No, let's vote on it today and get it over with.
Well, before you do that, Greg's reviewing that.
Any thoughts on this?
Well, you do understand that this study will primarily be conducted remotely. Okay, so no in-person coming down really to Nashville, Indiana, and
So number one. Number two, you make a good point. I think, why don't you draft that in here and say that a draft of it will be presented and the council will review, you know, and something like, get your point in it. Okay, so it's, I'm playing lawyer here a little bit, but don't take my law degree away. You should, if that's what you want, you should put it in there as a sentence.
Council person? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your direct input. We need it. I'm not convinced. I know there's a problem, but yeah.
Yeah. So Jackson County Council just did an additional appropriation to pay for a salary study that pulled salary ordinances from 60-some counties across the state.
Yes.
And we paid $25,000.
Okay. What firm was that?
That was Ruby Financial.
Okay. Yeah, they're a Seymour-based firm. Let's. I mean, that's the other. That is my. We have a tendency to pre-select.
Well, hang on a second, Scott. We have been Gary Hewitt, myself, Julie Reeves, and Teresa Cobian last summer. Got in the car, met at my office, and drove all the way up to Muncie, and drove all the way back. Okay, on my dime. Right. And we met with him. We've had several conversations about this. This is nothing new.
Right.
Here we are 18 months later, basically, and haven't made any decisions. So,
do they actually?
Yeah. What Jackson County had a Wagner or an Ashley. Like, we've been in the COMOTs, and we have six different COMOTs, and we've got.
Hey, buddy. How you know?
This, that, and each other. Right. And it could not work for us anymore. Right. We had that graph. Right, I'm sure it's what you have, where you have your pay amounts in there and your step-ups.
Oh, we have no graph. Ours is just, no.
We
do, it's just the loss.
Your step raises, right, your step raises.
We did originally just know where.
And really no description, job description that you, I thought.
Yeah, we have the
job description.
You do?
They do have
a
job description.
So they built us a program that at budget time, he can say, I want to know what a 3% raise does. I want to know what a 4% raise does. And they will calculate the whole thing. It's built into a program. And I think the reason that they're able to keep that cost low was because they did probably six or seven counties all at the same time. We started the process they probably started in January or February.
Could we get a description and a copy of that?
Yeah.
You know, how it's laid out, how it's structured, and just kind of see if that's something.
So why don't we wait till the 21st and explore that other option so we have two options if there's something there. Is that acceptable?
Jim's, it's, I know you're frustrated with the lack of response. Kind of to your point, I think we could easily waste money here, right, if we're not careful. But I do think, I wonder if Reedy does Jackson County's
schedule.
So they've already got access to all the financials and all the pay,
so
that reduces their time, potentially. Right?
And I don't think it's going to get you, I don't think you're talking an apple and an orange, but
yeah, we should probably
wait on that. That's what's
yeah, and that's one thing. Are they using a whole new system that, you know, accounting system or whatever that will it work with ours? Basically, is what I'm saying.
It doesn't work.
Can we integrate something like that into our LOW system?
So shall we
does, or will
wait
we
and let something? Jim, you want to look into that further?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so we'll wait till the 21st.
That's not so much cost for me. It's I want to make sure we do this right. I don't want to screw around with
right,
this.
Right.
You know,
All right, so we'll wait for the first. Next item is there's a prosecutor grant matching fund.
Okay, what's the 21st? What's the date?
That's our meeting.
Right.
Oh, okay. We can go. Yeah, it's okay. So do we want to talk about the prosecutor grant matching fund? Do we need to? All right, you've got 2 minutes.
back years ago.
There's a new thing that just came up.
Okay. We've been auditing the 8312 grant and the 9400 grant, and we couldn't figure out why the grant was running negative. It is a reimbursable grant, but the dollars kept compounding themselves and getting bigger and bigger. Through going through investigations and problem solving this, we found
reimbursable meant that we spend it and they reimburse it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That was 8312?
8312.
The victim assistance federal grant?
Yeah.
And what, yeah, we were
9400.
We were 34,000 in the rear at the end of this last year.
Right.
What's the other fund?
9400 is 80,000.
9400?
What we did not know was that.
Prosecutor invested federal grant?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's 83 grand, right?
What we did not know was that these grants were supposed to be 75-25 county match. And that never got done. So we need to hit the general fund for about $124,000 to get these two grants clean. The 9400 grant is not going to—it's not going to be in existence anymore. That's what really brought light to this, because yes, the gentleman retired. So I was like, okay, if he's retired, we should be at least quarter out, not $83,000 out. There's a problem here. The other thing we found out through investigation is that we had agreed to do 75-25, but a lot of times the state did not hold up their end, and they only reimbursed us 63%, and we were to pick up the rest. So,
and Duncan has all this paperwork, and he has been going over trying to find, I mean, I think he's found some money, like 10 grand in the 2400 fund.
Well, the 2400 fund is, they're getting ready to tap that because they use that for somebody else's salary too.
Right, that's why we only, that's yeah, why he's only taking 10 out of the 30.
We're suggesting that we don't hit it, we don't hit 2400,000 in 1 year. We're suggesting that we hit it a little bit this year and then make it up next year. But
these grants have been messed up since 2016.
16?
No, it was 14. 2016.
So do we get like statements from the federal government?
Yes, that's how I find when
is that
I
what happens?
It,
you guys get nasty like, letters in the mail?
Well, there was money that was deposited in the wrong funds. There was, it was a freaking nightmare, and we cleaned up what we could, but we knew that there was still a balance there, so Duncan
so you
took
need
over.
To, what's the total amount you want to divide it in 24 and 25?
I don't have
I'll have to get something up here.
Yeah, that's all right. But what you're saying is we got this.
What
I'm saying
is like split down the
middle and do. Right, but hang on a minute. I just thought I heard 125,000.
It is total.
Yeah. Okay. So wasn't that the answer?
Yeah.
Okay. 125, Jim. Okay. Just bear with me. Okay.
I asked this one time, and I'll never have to come back and ask. All right.
Yeah, right.
All right. It's still like.
Well, let me ask you this.
All right, so 9400 is the fund, and we were 83,276.33 in the arrears on that one. And what's the other fund number?
8312.
Okay, so 8312. Hang on a minute. There it is. Okay, so we got the 8312. That was 34072.67. These two numbers are coming off Gateway, which is the 12/31/2023 numbers.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I add those two up, and what I understand is that we need to reimburse the federal government 25% of that.
We need to reimburse ourselves. We never took it out of our general
fund. Not the federal government, it's us. It has to be reimbursed.
You've just been running these funds in the red.
Yes. And you can't do that.
How do we do that?
You have to take it from the general fund.
No, I mean,
so we
have to pay back. We have to transfer.
It's not uncommon to run grant funds into the red. That's
right,
not uncommon.
That
it's just that usually at the end of the year.
Because you because it's a
red. Well, it's usually at the end of the fiscal
year. Yeah.
These are fiscal.
fiscal year.
These grants run from October to September.
So that's the problem with 1231, is you don't use the 1231 balance. You either use the July 1 or you use the October, whatever the fiscal year is. So what is the out of balance right now? That's what we want to know. Because it's September.
What's the out of balance that we have right now with the two funds?
About $127,000.
There's more. So we got to pull $127K. Is that number accurate?
Yeah, I mean, it's not exact, but it's accurate.
The 8312 is still an active grant, so we still are getting reimbursement from that.
Okay. She's still got revenue coming.
Yeah, no, 9400 is donezo. So that's the 8312 is still active.
All right, so I thought about doing this. We got to do an appropriation out of the general, because we need to basically figure this back, zero out 9400.
Yep.
Get 9400 to zero, be done with it.
Yep.
And then come back, and so do part of that 24, and do the other part of 25.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jim, does that include ongoing match that was unaccounted
for? Well, what you're saying is 8312 still active.
8312 is the only one.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and we've also, now that we've been burned,
we just don't have a new grant from them.
Well, hold on. Are we now budgeting the proper amount? Because I heard that they were.
That's what I was going to. Now that we've been burned and we know that she doesn't always get the 75-25 because they knocked it down to 80-20. For this year, am I right, Duncan? 80-20 for.
Well, I think what actually happened was it's a mixture of personnel and benefits. What percentage is covered each year changes, and
that's what makes the 63% is it's right. It's 75% for salary, but we have to cover.
We haven't been the best stewards.
And it changes every couple of years. What percentage is covered?
So we get penalized because we've been late with filing. That's not we. County gets penalized because of
them. Just a clarification question. Both of these, this 84, or the 9400 and 8312, these are prosecuted attorney.
Yes.
Federal grants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who within the county oversees and pays attention from one year to the next? Who's responsible? Do we have?
Jill Wunder is the current 8312, and she is the current one that.
And is she in the prosecuting attorney's office?
Yeah.
Okay. She files all the papers.
So it's kind of the prosecuting attorney's responsibility to oversee this.
Doesn't that, Greg, though, come down to...
But see, they've been doing their part, but the county didn't realize they had a part. We could have mapped this out in Harris. We could have done it in Loud to take the county...
So is this an opportunity for us to... Is this an opportunity that Gary make a note of this, because you use this phrase all the time? Is this an area that we could draft a internal control to just have some kind of internal control in place going forward?
We actually did that new policy for the grants.
This is part of that reason.
We need somebody overseeing the grants that we have, so this doesn't happen.
Because we didn't even know that it needed to be part of the budget.
Yeah, that's fine. We'll clean it up and just make sure we stay on top of it going forward.
Yeah.
Well, are we on top of it? Going back to my question.
Yeah. We are on top. We have been.
Well, we will be. We've figured out what we have to actually make it correct for next year.
Okay, that's incorporated.
And we're going to be corking.
And then we're going to implement a policy that if you make any mistakes, that the payroll be done.
Exactly. But I think the further question is,
so maybe working for
is
free
there
next
a
year?
Budget line item in the prosecutor's budget for 25% of his victims assistance?
Right.
No, it's supposed to come from the general fund.
Is it in the general fund line?
It's in 83.
So that's going to be in his budget?
Right.
Yeah, it's in his budget.
It is in his budget.
It's not 25%.
It's not 25%.
It's a certain amount. It's a certain amount. Greg, can you make sure we get all of that figured out, general and prosecutor's budget, in our 25 budget request?
Because why couldn't you supplement with other prosecutor's funds if they are there? I have sometimes, but up in Hancock, we had 15 different ones. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know how many other separate funds you have in prosecutor's office.
$2,400, but they did away with that position and they have.
So that needs to be checked because there may be some pennies from heaven hit.
$2,400 actually is used $5,000 annually to help cover the difference between what is budgeted and what is not actually.
Could it be used to the tune of $10,000?
Yes. Well, maybe not annually, but.
$100,000.
Not annually.
Right now.
I'll make you a deal.
You need to talk to Ted about that because Ted has a plan. He's not going to.
Yeah, he uses the process.
Yes.
He's not going to pursue the $9,400 for an investigator. He wants to fund it a different way.
So we need to get. That was the one he's rolling in the sheriff's department.
But he does need an investigator.
We need to get a grip on it.
Well, and, you know, I don't think it's a good idea for the council to ask the prosecutor's office to handle our ultimate financial obligations, right? I mean, they're a non-financial type of entity. They can track and report, but I think you guys probably ultimately need to receive that information and make sure.
Right, we're the stewards of it, yes.
So you are now, but I don't want to just say, oh, this is a prosecutor issue. I think it comes back to us.
Absolutely.
And we have to manage it.
And you're the physical body that counter all of it.
Absolutely, I mean, this was a fall.
But I think you can certainly ask, is there deferral or diversion money that you can put towards this?
That's what, right.
Right?
That's where I'm going.
He gets funds.
Can you, guys have to ask him that?
We've had meetings with Ted.
Because we need help.
I think that's where the $2,400, isn't that what $2,400 is?
The deferral money.
It's the, I think that is the deferral money.
Yeah.
So I think he is utilizing some of it, it just.
What's his balance?
I don't think there's anything.
He's got over $30,000 in it right now.
Yes.
And, but he has some expenditures left, like at the end of the year. And, but we also noticed that there were 2 years that the $5,000 didn't come out. So part of the $127 is $10,000, so it actually goes down to $170.
So Duncan, we need the $127, and then we need.
Minus $10,000, because there is $10,000 that is in his $2,400.
So that would be $127 minus $10,000, $117.
And that's for both of them. I don't believe you have to get, if you want to get it 100%.
Right, this is just, and then we need the match for October 24 to October 25.
Yes.
Yes, and that is not in the current.
That's not in the current budget is what I heard.
Yeah.
There's two numbers.
It is, but not enough.
Right, he's got it in there, but he doesn't have 25%. So we've already been working on figuring out what we have to make it go forward correctly.
Report back to us on the 21st council meeting exactly what you determined and how that has been worked out. Here's how.
Yep.
Because that's where we're trying to get to. We can't figure it out right now, probably.
There's donuts here. Maybe you want donuts? Let's take a quick break.
Very nice to meet you, Duncan. Still, what happened to the other Duncan?
So it's the same.
She went upstairs.
No, her. Well, yeah, you're the one. I met you already.
Yeah, we've met.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
What is it? I was going to say, what do you mean? What happened to the other Duncan?
Well, I thought there was another person with a different name.
There's
that
Doug.
Was down. Doug.
Doug.
That's Doug.
He's my claim.
So that's, I was confused. Yeah, I was thinking, wait a minute, Duncan?
There's too many
Duncan took Doug? And I knew T went to Top and Sir B was down there and he's here. So it's double D.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with it.
Yeah, in the same office.
I don't know, you're just going off the rails there.
No, I cut it down pat.
Well, I don't need to stand here, but at least, you know, we are working on it. But, you know, it's just the nature of that. It's.
Yeah.
Not easy. It's just not easy to lay out yet. It's still compiling and putting together. But even to sit here and explain everything we've found so far would take a real presentation.
Yeah.
But we are digging in to find out.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Takes,
thank you. Yeah, it's not simple.
Okay, we'll get there. You want to do my brief back?
Okay. You're free to leave.
Yeah.
Susan, what's Jackson?
But at least we know about them and we're doing.
Council meetings are the third ones.
We're not ignoring them.
Yeah.
The more you.
This is one of our problems.
The more you.
I thought they had a big.
She is.
But they did.
Yeah.
They were not.
continues to go.
It got dropped, and when she came to the office, nobody told her, nobody did nothing, it was.
Yeah, Linda was pretty good, I mean, not making it.
I know, and I think, like, if you want to get some machine, I think you could do it, you could, they have all the summer rooms for people. So if you want to go back there, we could change it.
Joel, I'm waiting for your guidance to the council on this.
Whole thing amazing.
The rat's nest.
I was impressed with your knowledge of that last meeting, we never made a motion.
Oh.
Because I walked in, that was cold, I had no idea what was going on, I have since.
Oh, I tried.
The speed on my tool, and no, let's go.
Oh, I had nothing to do with it, I had nothing to try to fix it.
Yeah.
Public interest, and it was not going that bad, it was going way off.
It appeared that way to me, too.
Proven that way. At this point, the perception of misinformation has now been debunked, it's a waste of time.
I'm speaking of jobs for the reporters.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And there's also.
They're meeting with the bank for the next couple of weeks to figure out.
And they ask me.
This balloon thing that is going to blow out of proportion, people get a 5-year loan, never intending paying with the balance, even 5 years, they refinance 99% of the time. But it was conveyed to public, they see, oh, you've got to pay the full balance, and at the end of the 5 years, oh, what are you going to do, you're going to sell the building?
Owns.
The CBD, they bought it, they're private land owner, they have property rights. CBC has no authority to do with the private property at all, but they did. They were this close to selling it, because it's now forced to do it. And in fact, when that person took their total of $600,000, my council was told, that's a lot of money. By an individual bill, $600,000, just to raise for 1.2.
I don't see that as often.
It was absurd, I knew it immediately, it's absolutely.
I'm not in real estate, but that's.
You can't buy a house, if that is obscene.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of several issues that were, like the balloon thing, misrepresented, kind of pushed. Try to drive this takeover, which, you know, it was so aggressive, we found out so late, days while being carried out and executed, that if you saw me jump in, both feet, I couldn't just kind of put my toe on the water, that we were 70 days trying to be executed. And I couldn't just like, no, I had to dive in aggressively in order to prevent it. It came out of one boat 17 days later that he was saved or hit the.
This is my guy, so I had to save him, so.
So.
Actually, we had a lawyer, who.
Ridiculous.
We looked at the people.
But it's not ever had.
No, I just need to.
I don't know, he's not.
Believe. Karen emailed me last night, I think Karen did a lot, right? Yeah, I gave her a. Summary. Glad she's looking at it, you know, and hopefully actually getting you on it.
Yeah, you cut that right.
I can tell.
She ought to be sitting in this position.
Oh, no.
She is a detail person. She is an absolute, and I'm a general. One of the issues that I'm almost too old to change my thing. I'm going to a meeting, and I'm just listening to the overall view. I'm not getting their names, Now, she's a note taker, trust me.
Well.
Of course, Jim would have a hard time with her because she's going to be up his butt so busy, he's going to believe it.
No, it's God. I was prepared.
He's been kind of mild mannered here lately. What's going on?
No, he's good. He's coming around.
We've all tried to tell him about it.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good conference.
Yeah.
He was very engaged.
We had a talk, and he talked a lot.
He's so knowledgeable. It's just that he presents it in a way that shuts everybody down, and he doesn't get the information, so.
That's a lot of it.
They have oversight. We just had to.
I tried, yeah.
It's a group effort.
Yeah.
That's not appropriate.
No.
They got caught like.
Yeah, I mean, it's like. I was well. I did.
It's all Julie doing it.
We need paper towels.
Shoo!
Yes, we do. We're probably need bib six.
Get that shirt, that white shirt, coffee stain.
I know.
That's a dangerous.
I was carrying it carefully, you know.
Man wears the white all the time. I don't know.
His napkin's over there, but
it's not easy.
There's Kleenex over there, Gary. Or Greg, sorry.
It's not easy, especially when you drive a car.
All over the state, yeah.
Well, my little Indian dry cleaner, he says, I see you've been traveling.
Seriously, he gets new vests.
God, when are
they? Winter or?